This is the last part of Joshua's farewell speech. He's an old man at this point, and he knows that the Lord's going to call him home soon. And so he calls a meeting at Shechem. And Shechem is the appropriate place for this meeting because that's initially where God made the promise to Abraham that he was going to make Abraham the father of many nations. And so he calls this meeting at Shechem. You know, some of you in the corporate world have had to go to meetings. I had a pastor once count the meetings he went to in his entire career, and it was over 3,000 meetings. And he said, that was 2,999 too many. You know, as he reflected back. And meetings are necessary, but when somebody calls a meeting, you want to know why. Isn't that true? What's the purpose of the meeting? You know, if somebody calls a meeting and the purpose is childbirth, that ship sailed for me, you know, a long time ago, so that would have no relevance. But the purpose that, for which Joshua called this meeting was to talk about choices and decisions. That make sense? So how many of you had to make some choices and decisions this morning? Right? Those of you who didn't, that tells me that your spouse laid out your clothes for you. Okay. but we face choices every day, and we make them. Some choices are optional, aren't they? What color shirt you wear, what color pants. If you're like me, you'll never match because I can't tell some colors. I don't really care, but my wife does, so she helps me out. But there are choices that we make, that we face every day, that can be very significant. Choices as to whether to do something or not. Choices as to whether to purchase something. Choices as to what to eat. We all talk about January 1st eating healthy, and you know, that probably went by the wayside already. You know, isn't that true? Well, this afternoon at the... some of you may have bought, you know, a treadmill or a stepper or, you know, a spinning bike or something like that. And I'd like you to come back to me in April and tell me how many clothes you hang on it before you use it. But we all have choices to make. I want to suggest to you this morning, as Alexis read this before, that the choices we ultimately make will depend on where our focus is. Does that make sense? It will depend on where our focus is. Now, it's easy to get distracted, isn't it? Easy to get distracted. There was this quirky thing that used to happen in Rutherford where I grew up. We had the main drag was called Park Avenue. I don't know if any of you have ever been there. But the main drag was called Park Avenue. And when you were a high schooler and you got your license, what you did typically on a Saturday night was go up and down the avenue. That's what you did. Because that's how you met girls, okay? I'm serious. This was a phenomenon in Rutherford. And if you know Park Avenue, it's a straight run, goes right to the train station. There was a circle there, and you go right around the circle and go right back up again. And you would turn around at a park right across from City Hall. Well, a friend of mine, next-door neighbor, as a matter of fact, was on Park Avenue one Saturday night, and he was cruising and looking, and he happened to see walking down Park Avenue, a couple of very attractive young ladies. So as he's cruising, and you couldn't go above 10 miles an hour. It was just too congested. As he's cruising, you know what he did? He made the choice to focus on the ladies, and he ended up in a six-car accident. And this was with an old Plymouth Fury, which was like a tank, right? He ended up even in a 20 miles an hour in a six-car accident. Michael, you're laughing. Were you there? I don't know if you were there or not. Michael is the one driving. But we have choices to make. It was his choice at that point either to keep his eyes on the road or look at those beautiful young women on the side of the road. He made the wrong choice. Now, I'm not criticizing him because it is easy to make the wrong choices, isn't it? If we're really honest with ourselves, It is really easy to make the wrong choices. Let me give you another example. Not too long ago, I was driving south on Route 9. I think I was coming back from the hospital. But driving south on Route 9, and then a car swerves into my lane. And I was looking at the driver, and the driver happened to have the cell phone in her hand. This is a true story. And she was texting. And I'm laying on my horn. Now, the speed limit is 45 miles an hour in this section, and you know nobody ever obeys that. That's another poor choice that we make. But let me give you a comparison. At 60 miles an hour, a car travels 88 feet per second. That's a fact. You can't change that. All right? So at 45 miles an hour, you're probably traveling around 75 feet a second. You take your eyes off the road for 2 seconds. You've traveled 150 feet, and your car will always go off course. It will always go off course. She had a choice she had to make. She almost hit me. But fortunately, she heard the horn, and we were able to avoid it. Choices are something that that we are faced with every single day. So the question I want to raise this morning, the question that Joshua asks is this. Every day when we wake up, we have to make the very conscious choice of who we're going to follow. Are we going to follow the distractions of the world, or are we going to follow the Lord? Simple, right? But not so simple. It's a choice you and I face every day. Sometimes we face it every hour. Sometimes we face it twice an hour. But it's a choice that we're faced with. And the reason why Joshua called the meeting is this. He knew at his old age how easy it is for people to say words. But it's quite another thing to do them. Isn't that true? Okay? Boy, I bought that treadmill. I'll be on it every day. I have that gym membership. Yeah, I'll be going. Should I go on? I mean, we know how distracted we can become. And Joshua knew this, and he says, no, I want you to know, when it comes to God, this is serious business. This is serious business. It could be, well, and in fact, it is life or death. One of the things that I appreciate about having grandchildren, especially a two-year-old, when she comes into to my house, she has to go see her mom right away. That's the focus. She goes right to her mom. However, after she goes right to her mom, this is the honest truth. She can come walking in the door, and I could be there like this, and she'll go right past me and go to her mom. And that's okay. But after she does that, and I'm still waiting, then she has to go see what's plugged into the outlet, what's on television, look out the window, see if there's any dogs out the window. And she gets so distracted, but that's normal for a two-year-old, right? When it comes to choices of the heart, sometimes we're no better than a two-year-old. And Joshua knew that. And so what Joshua does here, he says, look, if we don't make the right choices, the godly choices, we are going to wander. I asked Bill to do Come Thou Fount of Every Blessing, and graciously he put it in the mix. There's a line in there that always hits home when I read it. Prone to wander, Lord, I feel it. Prone to leave the one I love. Man, I struggle with that every day. And I'm sure you do too. Because that's our sinful nature. And if we make the wrong choices, that sinful nature will start to creep back in again, and we'll be prone to wander. So what Joshua does is he takes them on a memory trip. One of the radio stations around here, I can't remember the call letters, might be WJRZ, every Saturday and Sunday they play Casey Kasem's Remember Casey Kasem? Yes. Top 40, right? And for us, I mean, Casey Kasem is dead now. And unfortunately, we lost Dave Vigoda. He's really dead this time. And I don't mean that to be sarcastic, but about 15 years ago, somebody said he was dead. He was alive. But Casey Kasem brings you down to, you know, now memory lane. He songs evoke. We can tell from songs where we were, what we were doing. And sometimes how powerful they are. So what Joshua does here, he says, look, I want you to remember. I want you to remember the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the grace of God, how he chose you and how he delivered you and how he fought for you. Because we forget. So we have to remember, not that we live in the past, but we really have to remember what God has done. The mighty acts of God. In verse 1 to 13, it is God who opens our eyes. It is God who opens our hearts. It is God who opens our spiritual ears. And with that, it is God who comes after us. Our inclination is to run away from God, isn't it? That's our inclination, to run away from God. But God, in his love for us, pursues us. And he will keep pursuing us until we understand that he is pursuing us. And in the process, we have to think back. You know, hindsight's 20/20, okay? You've heard that expression. When we look back on how God pursued us and then how he saved us from our sinfulness and how he rescued us from an eternity in hell, it wasn't our good works, it was him, what he did through his son, Jesus Christ, and how he has worked in the tough times, in the good times, in situations that we thought were hopeless. As we look back, we're reminded of the mighty acts of the God who loves us. That doesn't mean that things go our way all the time. Doesn't. What it does mean is that God never leaves us or forsakes us. And no matter what we go through, and life can be painful, we know that. But no matter what we go through, he'll never leave us or forsake us. We have to be reminded of that. And Joshua does that in those first 13 verses. But then he goes on to say in the following verses, we have to remember God's grace. Not only do we have to remember his mighty acts, we have to remember God's grace. Israel was not chosen because they were something special. Israel was chosen because God loved them. Israel was not chosen because they were good people. They were chosen because they were sinners in need of a savior. And God's love pursued them, and God took an Iraqi by the name of Abraham and called him and said, Abraham, I want you to go. You don't even know where you're going, but I want you to go. And implied in all of this is that God pursues us. And he loves us. He loves us so much that he gave his one and only son for us to die on the cross so that we can know forgiveness of our sin, past, present, future. We can be redeemed. That is under new ownership, his ownership. We can know that we have eternity in heaven. But just like the Israelites, not one of us deserves it. Amen. Not one. Paul puts it this way in Romans. There is none righteous, no, not one. It's a quote from Isaiah. None of us deserve God's grace and love. None of us deserve to be saved, but God in his love says, I'm coming after you. And I'm going to make a way. And it's going to cost me my own son. You don't deserve it, but I want to offer salvation and forgiveness to you by repentance and faith. Joey, if you can skip down to Ephesians 2, that passage, or Emily, Ephesians 2. And this is something that Joshua reminded the people in his speech. This is Paul writing some years later under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, Ephesians 2, verses 8, 9, and 10. It is by what? Grace you have been saved. Through what? That is not of yourselves. It is a
gift of God.
Not by works, so that what? You know what would happen if our forgiveness was based on our own works? We'd be going around bragging, wouldn't we? Look how good I am. Look how good I am. I'm better than you. You know, it would take you 5 minutes before you punch me out. Right? It is by grace. Definition of grace is God's unmerited favor to us. We didn't deserve it. He offers it. And we need to appropriate it by grace. In God's mercy, He doesn't give us what we deserve. What we deserve is an eternity in hell because of our rebellion against God. We're born rebels against God. And Joshua wanted the people to know this. And in God's grace, He gives us what we don't deserve. And that's forgiveness, adoption into His family, and a secure future in heaven. The second thing in that speech that I noticed in verses 14 to 21 is that we have to remember our responsibilities. One of the things that upsets me is the mindset that our freedom came with no cost. I'm talking about as a nation. That really upsets me because our freedom came with great cost. The lives of men and women who fought for this country for our freedoms. Our freedom in Christ came with great cost. It cost Him His life. It cost Him His blood. And our freedom, and this is where we go crazy sometimes, even as a society, our freedom doesn't mean we can do anything we want to do. Freedom brings responsibility with it, doesn't it? And Joshua wanted to get that across to the people. Yeah, God chose you. He loves you. Not because you deserve it, but He loves you. But don't use that love as a mechanism for sin. Because now we can serve God freely because He's paid for our sin. So what does that mean? Well, that means a lot. That means in everything we do, we are called to be servants of God. So how does that impact our choices? Joey, if you can put up Romans 12 at this point, or Emily. Paul, again, writing in Romans. I want you to listen to this carefully. Therefore, I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's what? Some translations say, in view of God's great mercy, to offer your what? Say that louder. As a living, holy and pleasing to God, that is what? Your true and proper worship. That means when we get up in the morning, our responsibility in response to the grace, the love, and the freedom that God's won for us through Jesus Christ, we need to make the decision at that point who we're going to serve that day. Are we going to be distracted by the world and its gods and its idols? Or will we, on that day, choose to serve God, offering our entire self, heart, mind, will, to Him, and say, Lord, I want to glorify You with everything, I have. So when I go into the office, I want my work to honor You. When I go into the office, I want my relationships there to honor you. When I come home and I'm with my family, I want those relationships to honor you. When I have to clean the house and clean toilets, I want that to honor you. When I have to change diapers, Lord, I want that to honor you. That brings meaning to a lot of stuff that we do that we consider what? Mundane. Isn't that true? Therefore, I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. That last phrase in that verse is an idiom. It's translated in the NIV, this is your true and proper worship. If I were to translate that literally, here's how it would translate. This is your logical act of worship. Logical. In other words, nothing else makes sense. In God's kingdom, this is the logical end of being the recipient of God's love, His grace, and His mercy. We fear God and worship Him. We are to serve Him with all faithfulness. And we need to make a decision of resolve in a settled relationship with God that we're going to serve Him in everything we do. There are too many professing believers who want to put God in a compartment. God's okay on Sunday, but when I go to school or when I go to the office, well, God doesn't apply. Business is business. Yeah, well, doesn't matter. God understands. Or in school, it doesn't matter what my language is. It doesn't matter how my behavior is. It doesn't matter if I do my best. School is school. You know, God understands. This is saying, and Joshua is saying, no, every minute of every day, we are faced with the decision of who we're going to serve. It gets even a little bit more complicated. And here's where it gets complicated. Joshua, in his speech, warned about the danger of flirting with the world. You know what I mean by that? That means, hey, I like having one foot in the world and one foot in the kingdom of God. That never works, by the way. We try it, but it never works. So I can be attracted to some of what the world offers that God says isn't good, and I can kind of flirt with it and play with it. And what Joshua wants to get across to the Israelites here is if you do that, you will end up embracing false gods. You will end up embracing idols who will then own you and trap you, and you will wander so far off course. That's why the Hebrews were under strict instructions not to marry outside the faith. Because once you become unequally yoked with somebody, there's a good chance that you're going to drift away. Real good chance you're going to drift away. But then Joshua says you have to remember that our actions speak louder than words. That's what he says in the last part of this. It's easy to say the words. Every once in a while on a Sunday morning, you'll hear me say, you know, after singing, that was the easy part. That was the easy part. Most of us like singing. Some of you don't. I know that. But you better get used to it because that's what we're going to do in heaven. But, you know, most of us like singing. And, you know, we stand up and we sing these words. Words are easy to say, aren't they? You take a poll of wives here and some husbands who will freely say, I love you, which is okay to do. They would love to see those words backed up with action. Am I correct? Love isn't just a word, it's a verb, right? I love you. It's a verb. That means I'm going to dedicate myself to you. I am going to do things to, as Christ would say, make my bride shine. Putting words into action. Actions speak louder than words. If I could tell you, if I told you that last January I decided to go on a diet and this was the result of the diet, you would say what? You really didn't mean it. There was no actions that back up your words. And somebody said a pizza diet? But here's what happens. When we flirt with the world and we get distracted and we make the decision to let ourselves be attracted by the wrong things, we will embrace them eventually, and they become idols. Joshua, at the end of this passage, says, he asks three times, who will you serve? Choose you this day who you will serve. And the people came back right away. Oh, we'll serve the Lord. We'll serve the Lord. Then he says something they didn't respond to. Then go home and throw away your idols. They didn't respond to that. And I'm hoping some of them did. So the question I want to raise this morning is, what idols in our lives are hindering from us walking with God? What idols in our lives have we embraced that distract us? And what idols in our lives do we need to repent of so that we can say, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord? And you realize sometimes idols aren't necessarily bad in themselves. Sometimes they are. Sometimes they're not. We've all met people addicted to football. We've all met people who are addicted to something. And what I mean by addicted, sin is addictive. Do you realize that? Sin is addictive. But when we elevate something that's even good above God, it becomes an idol. And God calls us to get rid of those idols. Put them in their proper place. Get rid of them. Repent. And walk with Him. Choose you this day who you will serve. We need to recognize that we can't do this on our own. That we need to yield to the Holy Spirit every day. We need to yield and put ourselves under the authority of the Word of God every day. The Holy Spirit can give us the desire and the power to throw out idols in our lives. We need to yield to God in order to stay away from idols. There was a very wise man who led me to the Lord, and I've told you this before, but it's worth repeating. His name was Ed Tafalowski, happens to be Kelsey's uncle. And we worked together, and I saw God grab his heart, and the day he gave his heart and life to the Lord Jesus Christ, I didn't like it. I didn't want to ride with a Jesus freak. We carpooled up to the office. And at one point, I'll never forget it. We're at mile marker 96 on the Parkway, going north up to Keyport. And he told me, I told him, pull over, let me out, I'll walk. I'll walk the rest of the way. It's a true story. But of course, he didn't do that. And he was always very gentle. He would take me as far as I was able to understand, and then back off. Well, 18 months later, long story short, Mary Lou and I came to a service. He invited us. He almost fell over when we walked into the church. It's a true story. And, at that service, we both realized we needed a Savior. and his name was the Lord Jesus Christ, then we, by faith, asked him to come into our hearts. Ed was facing a major decision in his life. He was dating a beautiful young lady who we met, who was a nurse. And the problem was she wanted no part of Christianity. So we're riding up in the car one day, up to Keyport, and I saw he was down. I said, Ed, what's going on? He says, Pastor, I have to end this relationship. Pastor Lou. I wasn't a pastor then. I have to end this relationship. And I said, it's causing you great pain, isn't it? He said, yeah. He cared for her deeply. But he said, I've come to this resolve in my heart. I'm convinced that if I break this relationship off, God will replace her with someone who's meant for me. I'll never forget those words, because it wasn't too long after that he met Jeannie, his current wife. God blessed him for his decision and gave him someone who was suited for him, because he chose to obey. He chose to make the right decision. Was it easy? No. He was devastated at first, but he knew God wouldn't leave him or forsake him. When we recognize that we have idols in our life and we want to get rid of them, it's hard sometimes because, truth be known, we like them. Right? We like them. And come the day where the Spirit of God helps us to get rid of that idol, with the assurance in our heart, it's going to hurt because you go through a grieving process. You really do. And with the full assurance that God is going to give us something in his time that is so much more better than we could ever imagine, then we can truly be free again. As God did this for me, and he did it for Ed, and he did it for others who are here, he will do it again and again if we just trust him and repent and believe. So where are the distractions in our lives that keep us from walking a closer walk with God? Are we willing to make the same commitment as Joshua's people? But are we willing to put those words into action? Are we willing to put our words into action and get rid of the idols that hinder our walk? Whatever God calls us to give up, he will replace with something far better. And remember this, we're unable to do this in our own strength and in our own power. We need the help of God. We need the guidance of the Word. And we need the authority of the Holy Spirit. So the choice is ours. I'm going to ask you the question as I ask it to myself. Who will we serve today? Will it be God, or will it be the world? Let's pray.